Welcome back to Technical Foodies, where we discuss QSR technology and hot topics in the food and beverage industry. Presented by Acrolec. Today, we're covering Gen Z. Born generally between 1997 and 2012, Gen Z is a diverse and expressive generation that has grown up with technology and the internet as an integral part of their lives. This digitally native generation seeks instant gratification and values convenience, customization, and personalization in all aspects of their lives. According to NIT's 2022 Restaurant and Dining Report, in the U.S. alone, Gen Z has an estimated buying power of $150 billion and $360 billion globally. Smashing all estimates and projections from years before, there's no denying that Gen Z is an extremely important and powerful segment to capture in any industry. Despite all of that, many restaurants are not prepared to accommodate Gen Z buying or dining habits, let alone Generation Alpha after them. So how can technology help bridge the gap between traditional restaurant operations and the expectations of this digital generation? Stay with us to find out. Today, I have with me Allie Metz, currently working as the Global Project Manager for Digital Signage at Acrolec Inc. out of Chicago. Thank you so much for joining me today to talk all about Gen Z and QSR tech. Can you give us a little background on your expertise?
Of course. Thanks so much for having me, Delia. I'm excited to be a guest on Technical Foodies. My background, well, first of all, I'm a millennial. And you're a Gen Z, only separated by 1 year, but I think that that will make this conversation interesting and will add to some of the dynamics where we have insight into both millennial and Gen Z trends or characteristics. So my background here at Acrolec is I work on the digital signage team, but we do a lot more than digital signage. We're always thinking about the customer experience, whether it's their experience in the drive-thru, in the store, when they come to pick up their order, through the drive-thru, all of those different things are important to what the menu board experience is for the guest. So that's what I do here at Acrolec. Also, I don't know if you want to include this, my master's study was in media ecology, which looked at the trends of media usage among teens. So Gen Z. And so we're looking at how digital technology changes the sociological implications for our society and specifically for Gen Z.
In other words, you're the most qualified person in this office to talk about this with me.
I don't know about that.
So very exciting. Let's get into it. So we know from NIT's 2022 Gen Z Restaurant Dining Report that speed and convenience are the most important decision criteria when Gen Z generally are deciding where to eat. So how can QSRs adapt their business operations to stay competitive with convenience-driven Gen Z customers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is interesting. And this whole conversation, I think, is unique for us to be having, Delia, because digital menu board, there's a lot of marketing that goes into that as well. So when you're trying to consider how can you appeal to a different demographic, digital menu board and marketing teams need to work very closely. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's a lot of brands we do work with that are, you know, the menu board and marketing is practically the same team. So I think that's something that's really key to hone in on is not just thinking about the menu itself, but what can we be using with the menu that's also marketing. More and more, just what you were saying, the convenience-driven nature of Gen Z means that they want something that's quick and easy. So if you just have a standard priceless menu, this isn't catering to that experience that they have in other places. So what can we use that digital menu board for that's more attractive? Marketing, videos, we can change out our LTOs more frequently. That's what's going to be more important than just having every product that we have available on the menu board.
Yeah, and I think it also there's also an avenue or the capabilities with digital menu boards to kind of lead that customer journey.
Absolutely.
A little bit more, which I think is what Gen Z kind of is looking for. They don't want
to your point, to look at the whole price list, they want someone to say, hey, this is our new thing. You would really like it because that's, you know, we're basing it around you.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting. A lot of the avenues that digital menu boards kind of open up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
In that capacity. So Gen Z orders predominantly via the drive-thru, in-store pickup and third-party delivery apps for speed and convenience. What are the key aspects of drive-thru technology that make it attractive to Gen Z customers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that gets thrown around about Gen Z is instant gratification.
Yeah.
And I think it's viewed very negatively. But I would argue that every younger generation gets typed as being obsessively attracted to instant gratification in a negative light. And I don't think that should be the case. That's not the narrative, right? The point of technology is instant gratification. The point of QSR is instant gratification. You're listening to this, you have some interest in instant gratification. So that aside, I think it's important that we think about that when we consider the younger customer or the Gen Z customer, because they want all of these things very quickly. And the drive-thru is typically the best means for them to get that. So start by reframing that to say we should be utilizing the drive-thru more. More and more brands are testing drive-thru only stores.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we'll see more of in the future, and that's something that should be focused on. COVID did a big thing for drive-thru in that sense, where we had to start thinking about the customer journey that was being had in the lobby or in the dining area, and think about how we can implement this same experience in the drive-thru. And I think COVID was an important point in that, but I don't think that's the end because more traffic has been driven into the drive-thru since COVID. And more often we'll see that with younger customers. So focusing more money on the drive-thru than what we're doing in the lobby, does that mean that we shouldn't have digital menu boards in the lobby? I don't think so. I think it means that what we should be doing is creating a seamless experience regardless of where the customer is eating, and making sure that we can increase speed of service so that they are even more attracted to the brand itself. So we can do that through streamlining the menu. We can do that through making sure our times are right by adding a timer, integrating those two. So we can change the menu board based on what the traffic flow is, and we are able to serve the convenience-driven customer that much better.
Interesting. Why do you think Gen Z are quicker to use third-party delivery apps over individual brand apps?
I think there's a lot of variance with individual brand loyalty apps or ordering apps. And I think that is unappealing.
Yeah.
If every experience I have with a mobile order is different, then
there's no consistency.
There's no consistency. There's no understanding of what I should be looking for or doing. Every time I open a new app, I have to figure out it.
And how? That's
the opposite of convenience. I have to learn a new user interface every time I want to order food. So I think that Gen Z, again, in the rate that they consume digital media has become so analytical to know this is what I want and this is how I want it. And if I have to spend extra time to try to get it, I won't do it.
Yeah. And I think that Gen Z in general is more aware of the amount of time that they spend doing things.
Absolutely.
I think that because they're digitally native, because they've always had a smartphone in their pocket or an Apple Watch on their wrist, you know, they are very aware that they can be doing something else when they're spending the time, you know, ordering food, which is a basic necessity that I think that they feel like should be so easy and simple that you can spend your time doing something you actually enjoy or want to do.
Yeah.
At least that's kind of like the American mindset around food and meals and stuff like that. But I think when you order through like a third party app, it's to your point, it's the same every time you order. And what I would love to see is for like brands that don't have a strong first party delivery app, integrating loyalty into like third party delivery apps, because mm-hmm. I feel like that's the only thing that's really missing.
Yeah.
And if you're not, you know, if whatever brand is not seeing the numbers, you know, from their individual app, I think that most of them end up sourcing their delivery through DoorDash or Uber anyway. Right. So like, what's the difference, you know?
Yeah. And I think a big point in that as well is also what I was saying about being Gen Z, the way that they process information is more analytical than mm-hmm. previous generations. Along those same lines is in a third-party app, you're able to see information about all of the stores.
Yeah.
So you're able to have a comparison driven for you to say, who's doing the best?
Who's going to deliver to me fastest?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So why would I take my own risk by ordering through first party when I can just have all of that, the reviews, the comparison, the stars.
The tracking.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. I think a good example of like a first party delivery app that does well is like Domino's. I have a younger sibling who is way more Gen Z, like definitely like the definition of Gen Z I always imagine is my younger sibling. They only order from Domino's because they can track it every single step of the way and it gets there really quick. And I think Domino's has invested a lot of money and resources into their own, you know, delivery vehicles. They just bought a bunch of like electric vehicles and stuff like that. So I think, you know, when looking at how first party delivery apps can appeal more, I think they need to look at that example, right? Mm-hmm. And go from there. How can QSRs optimize their in-store pickup services to ensure a seamless process?
I think as we see more traffic in the drive-through, we need to reconsider how we can direct mobile order traffic in a different pattern. This is something that we see a lot. We have a lot of locked-in drive-through lanes where if you go to get a mobile order, you're stuck in the drive-through lane with everyone else who's waiting for their food. Your food's already ready and it's been waiting for 5 minutes. It's difficult because we don't always have the footprint at a store to be able to come up with a fully new flow of what a mobile order traffic pattern would look like. Mm-hmm. But I think it's something that should be thought about more intentionally, especially for stores that have high third-party deliveries or third-party pickups, because that is a whole subset of traffic that is coming in and out very quickly, is familiar with the store, with the layout. And if they are going to the drive-through, going to the order point and then pulling forward, you're adding time to everybody's order. So I think it's important to think about that. I think it's also important to think about not just like the physical location of where you're getting the food, but also how it's being like stored and prepared. I think there's a big push in some places for lockers. How can you be keeping mobile order food fresh longer? You know, all of those considerations that we're just on the very front cusp of with mm-hmm. mobile ordering, even though the rate at which Gen Z is mobile ordering is skyrocketing.
Yeah. And I think part of that like designated pickup area, mm-hmm. the appeal to it for Uber pickup drivers or, you know, a general customer just picking up their order is, I think, the speed at which they can pick it up and how little interactions they need to have to accomplish that, especially in like with Gen Z again, with like them being very kind of time focused. Mm-hmm. I think it makes a difference when a brand can give them an experience that resonates with them or that is easy.
Yep.
So what role does accuracy play in mobile pickup, especially in the context of Gen Z?
Huge. I don't know how else to say that. Like, the accuracy of a mobile order, the accuracy of drive-through order makes such a difference. If we're talking about the use of third-party apps, and not even just third-party mobile order apps, but I mean, TikTok.
Yeah.
Words travel so fast. There's a media ecologist who sort of, you know, founded a lot of the principles in media ecology that talked about this idea of it being a global village, that we all know everything about everyone all the time. And because of digital media, it only takes one TikTok for someone to start trending poorly against a brand.
Yeah.
And again, that may be extreme, but I think the principle holds, whether it's reviews on Yelp, reviews on mobile order apps. If food is consistently inaccurate or the order is consistently inaccurate, Gen Z will know.
Yeah.
Gen Z will know. And we need to start thinking more about how we can improve that at every point. So there are a lot of brands that are doing order confirmation boards, and they've been doing this for a while, but making it more apparent and more attractive to the eye so that we're able to have a more engaging experience with that order review process. And then also thinking about it for a mobile ordering. So double checking all of those points to make sure that order is accurate before it goes into someone else's hands.
Yeah. And I think, to your point, Gen Z is, they do know everything about everyone, or that information is out there because they share it so freely. Mm-hmm. And according to NITS study again, Gen Z is far less likely than their predecessors to write a bad review, mm-hmm. or go to a person or a manager and complain,
yep.
right? They will just blast it all over the internet, yep. and make sure all of their friends and their circle is aware,
right.
that you keep messing up their order.
Yep.
And I don't think that enough brands understand the weight of that,
yeah.
at this juncture.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think that's such a good point, is that it's not necessarily like what Gen Z or what the customer is talking about. It's not necessarily that they're writing a bad review or not bad. It's the way that they're talking about it.
Yeah.
And I think maybe it's just me because I work in QSR that I'm on QSR TikTok, but I see all of these food review TikToks and
yes.
Secret menu hacks and what would employee order TikTok, you know? And so all of those influencers have something to say about every brand that they interact with. So again, it may not be what they say, but it there is something to how they're saying it. And if the order is inaccurate, it will come across.
Yeah. And I think that kind of bleeds into our next question really well, too. Gen Z is notoriously brand agnostic. They do not have the same loyalty that previous generations have around brands. So how can QSRs keep Gen Zs engaged and interested when ultimately menus have not changed in decades?
Well, I think this is a really good question for this week.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can bring...
Go ahead.
the grimace trend.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you don't know about the grimace trend, there's a limited time offer grimace shake. McDonald's mascot.
It's like it's like grimace. His birthday or something.
Yeah. Birthday. And this is, I mean, McDonald's is doing really well at getting trending products. And so this is another thing. They set themselves up for success. However, there's the TikTok trend that is
rather graphic.
So it's not what I'm sure McDonald's hoped for in terms of trending, but
guessing not.
We're talking about it, so it's significant. So the trend is that people are pretending to be
like kidnapped by grimace,
yeah.
or like, you know,
like the shakes are poison. You know, I don't know how graphic we can get. So that is something that I think is really important, from a product standpoint of picking out limited time offers and creating buzz around a product that you sell. So historically, because we were doing print menus, we had to stick to the set product list, and that product list would be there
forever.
Most of the time. Yeah. Maybe something would change here and there. Prices would change, but rare would it be that we could have a full seasonal menu for mm-hmm. summertime. Digital menu board affords that, and we can change things very quickly. And so for Gen Zs that scroll
constantly,
we can create a similar experience at a QSR by having LTOs that are here one day and then gone the next. that's what you can do with menu boards is you could genuinely have, I mean, product people are like, no, that's impossible. But, you know, you could sell a product for one day and then get rid of it the next day.
Yeah.
And that's something that could never be done before. But I think that's something that Gen Z is interested in, as we see with these trends. They want to be in on something special. And if you can create an LTO, put that on your menu board and make it special for those people that get it, that's a huge opportunity to increase sales, to increase interest in the brand, to always keep people coming back because they want to see what's next and they want to know when their favorites are coming back again.
Yeah. And I think that in that comes a need for brands to dig into that customer segment of Gen Z's and understand what they want.
Right, right.
You know, like you need to be on TikTok, you know, understanding what the menu hacks are that are out there. Yeah. I think McDonald's did it last summer. It was, they did like a special menu hack offering. It was like the land, air, and sea. It was like a chicken patty, beef patty, and a fish fillet. And that had been circulating the internet for years, you know? So I think it comes down to as well understanding that audience and spending the time and resources to know what they're interested in. Because otherwise, I think you there's more opportunities to be missed than there are to take advantage.
Yeah, I agree. And I think along those same lines, we're seeing a big push towards simplified menu. There's a lot of, I would say the majority of brands, when the customer arrives in the drive-thru, they already know what they're going to order.
Yeah.
They're choosing the restaurant because they know what they want from there. It's rare that anymore someone is driving around and says, oh, I've never heard of this place. Let's try it and go through the drive-thru. Inside, maybe there's more of a selection process happening, but in the drive-thru, we can do a really simplified menu and we can use that extra space or that additional menu board for engagement. So we can show more videos so that people passing by see that grimace shake, that land, air, sea.
Yeah.
You know, they can see those offerings that are unique and special. And then we can just use a really pared down menu because most of the time the people who are ordering in that drive-thru already have their order in mind. They don't need time browsing. It's just wasted time, wasted space that we could use for more important engagement.
And I think that's really specific to QSRs over like an LSR in a lot of ways. I mean, I don't think Chipotle is not a great example because I feel like most people get the same thing from Chipotle over and over. But other, you know, more limited service places where you have to go into the lobby, I think you're right. Like there's a little bit more of a selection process there. And I think that's where digital menu boards inside the store comes into play as well. Because again, you can, I mean, the McDonald's by my old apartment had tons of digital menu boards around their McCafe stuff. And it was very engaging. And I don't ever order McCafe stuff, but like, I really wanted a blueberry muffin because they made it look really good.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that there's opportunities in store and out and in the drive-thru as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important too, we've been talking a lot about big brands. But I think it's also important for smaller brands to consider these things as well, that if you don't have a big cult following, if no one is reviewing your food on TikTok, first of all, why not? Let us know, Delia, we can start
small we'll do it.
Brand. Yeah. Reviews. We'll do it.
Drop us a link.
Do you have to say ad in front of this? Hashtag ad.
Hashtag ad.
If no one is reviewing your food on TikTok, I think then it's important to think about what can you do on the menu board that will engage people to have that same cult-like experience. People want identity. I was just talking about this with someone. We're so drawn to having like personal identifiers and what you said of like people know their order when they go someplace. If you're a small brand, you can create a menu that allows people to create an order that is unique to them.
Yeah.
So then they say, oh, when I go here, this is my order. This is what you should get. You create that, again, that buzz around your product by making it have that individual identifier. So if you're not trending, you can still focus on pulling the customer in that way. And I think by having a digital menu board where you can organize things out uniquely, you can still test out those LTOs or those seasonal things to create that that brand loyalty, even if you are a smaller brand.
Yeah. And I think to that point, restaurants that are set up or limited service restaurants that are set up almost in that kind of like assembly line type model, similar to like a Chipotle, or there's like a pokey place down the street from the office here that we love, where there's such a level of customization, even if it's a very, there's only a certain number of combinations, you know, that are possible. But you're allowing people with those add-ons or with the option of additional things to their meal, you're allowing them to create that identity. Yep. So I think that there's lots of opportunities that are missed for customization and personalization. And I know that isn't super easy in the context of like, you know, a McDonald's or a Wendy's or a Burger King or something like that. But I think if you're a smaller brand and you have the opportunity, I think that it's definitely worth thinking about because it allows for that individuality, which is very apparent in Gen Z.
Yeah.
Like they don't care about the Hogwarts houses. They want to be their own.
Exactly.
Like individual. Yeah. Yep. So I guess my last question, how can QSRs leverage data and analytics to improve their operations and attract and retain the needs of Gen Z?
Yeah. I think this is one, again, to push back against the negative narratives around Gen Z. Gen Z is very open with their data.
Yeah.
Millennials are even more open than the generations before us. We want the algorithms. We want someone to tell us what we should be looking at, shopping for, buying.
Make my life easier, please.
Exactly.
Someone.
Exactly. Yeah. If I'm hungry, I want a notification to pop up on my phone that I'm near a store and that this is the offer that I want that. And I think more Gen Z tendency is towards that data openness. I don't know, maybe it's because we're young and feel like we don't have much to lose. But I think that's something that brands are certainly taking more advantage of and should be taking more advantage of in the future. We talked about this. I was not on that episode, but you talked about this on the AI episode of the end of the day, what's the worst thing that brands can be doing with your data?
Send you annoying notifications nonstop that you turn off in your settings.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that's something that is already being reframed. And I think that's something that's important to Gen Z as well, or important to think about with Gen Z, is that they have more data they're willing to give. So if you do have applications or you have customers that are using your mobile order apps or even third party, are there ways that you can collect more information? Historically, that has been done through receipts. Leave a comment if this and this. And a lot of times those comments are only being left if the order is wrong or if the service was slow. So what if we can take advantage of application use and get reviews from everyone because they have a bright red notification on their phone that asks them to take a 30-second survey? So I think that is something that is probably not being taken advantage of enough, is understanding even more about our customers and the way that they think, not just the way that they act, but their perceptions about the brand and things like this. And I think that, again, that will improve what we can do with inside menu board, outside menu board, mobile order apps, because we understand the way our customer is thinking, what they want to see, what they're not interested in, and then we can tailor our offerings to that.
It's interesting. Okay. Thank you so much for talking to me today, Allie. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thanks. It was so good to be here.
Awesome.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Technical Foodies. You may have noticed that we've been posting less frequently lately. Technical Foodies will now be releasing episodes on a bi-monthly basis. So every other month, we'll drop another conversation with an expert in the field about a hot QSR tech topic. As always, thank you so much for your support, and don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you're listening.